Relay. This is Downstream, a podcast about the present and future of television. This is episode 110, recorded January the 8th, 2025. As always, I am your master of ceremonies, Jason Snell. And this time, I am joined by somebody who is new to Downstream, but not new to podcasting, a fellow Relay podcaster, as well as the podcaster over at the Accidental Tech Podcast. It is Mr. Casey Liss. Hi, Casey.
Hi, Jason. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Welcome to Downstream. People might be surprised that you're here because nobody thinks of you as one of the pundits involved in the future of television.
Well, although you maybe are, they should.
You
maybe
are kind should. Of in a way, but there's a reason, and we'll get to it in a little bit, for why I have you here. You are a little bit of a guinea pig, a little bit of a representative of the current state of streaming. And I want to talk to you about that. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about your app. This is not a sponsorship, I swear, but I use your app. And your app is relevant to the entertainment world and the streaming world we live in, which is why I want to talk to you a little bit about Callsheet, which is an iOS app that you develop. Why don't you tell people why you built this thing and what it's for? How about we start
right
there?
Yeah, so Callsheet is an app that you can think of as kind of like the Internet Movie Database, the IMDb app, if it was done by someone who cares and done by someone who doesn't hate his or her users. So the motivating factor behind this was a few years ago, this was like 2020-ish, I was watching the Watchmen miniseries, which I cannot recommend enough. It's incredible. Yeah. I need to rewatch it again. I try to do that every year and I haven't watched it in like a year and change. But anyways, I won't spoil anything, but suffice it to say, there are some secret identities in the show. And I was looking at IMDb's website or perhaps the app. Right. And one of the characters, I hadn't yet been introduced to their alter ego.
Mm, yeah, there's a twist. And that person is credited as that character in the
exactly.
Twist. Yeah.
I don't think that's true anymore, actually, but at the time...
There's actually two in Watch. People should do it. Damon Lindelof did it after he did The Leftovers. It is fantastic. Even if you don't know the comic or the movie or anything like that, it's a absolutely spectacular show, one of the best shows of the last decade. But you're right, there are two characters in there that you're like... Is that? and IMDb's
exactly
like,
right.
Yep, that's who it is. You'll find out
exactly
in five episodes, but now you know.
That's exactly it. And so I was on like episode two or something like that. And I will lightly spoil and just so say that there's a family that we're kind of focused on. And one of the members of that family has an alter ego. Mm-hmm. And I was deeply surprised by this and really kind of ticked off about it. And so at this point, I had already been kind of fed up with the way the IMDb app worked. It's owned by Amazon, so they're constantly pushing Amazon stuff on you. They're constantly trying to do autoplay videos. Hey, Jason, would you like to log in? Jason, would you like to log in? Oh, Jason, how would you think about logging in? That'd be fun, isn't
it?
And it's just so bad. And so I thought to myself, well, I can't use the IMDb database, which admittedly is probably the best database for this sort of thing on the internet. But I know through some other travels that there's an alternative database that's more Wikipedia style, you know, or user-generated called the movie database. It's the moviedb.org, if I remember off the top of my head.
Yep.
And you can use that database affordably. And it's not as good as IMDb, but it's 80 to 90% of the way there. And the nice thing is, if you find an issue as a user, you can fix it because it's like Wikipedia. And so I started trying to figure out, could I write this, you know, IMDb clone, basically? And then I realized, oh, yes, this is something I can do. And over time, I got to have fun with it and make it for me. And so that means you can do fun things like prevent people from spoiling TV shows
Love
for
it.
Themselves. And so one of the things you can do in Callsheet is you can choose what things will be redacted on the screen for a TV show. So as an example, if I'm watching Watchmen, I can redact character names. I can redact the number of episodes that an actor is in.
Right,
so that
right.
this way you don't know that they're killed off.
The big main character is totally going to be in the whole show and it says they're in two episodes and you're like, oh,
exactly.
They die.
Yep, exactly. You can redact like images because sometimes the little thumbnail images or hero images for an episode gives a lot away and so on and so forth. There's other options as well. And then once I got doing that, and to me, the spoiler avoidance is kind of the hero feature of Callsheet. But once I got doing that, I realized, oh, you can do other fun things. And so as an example, when you're looking at a piece of media that has a specific release date, so not a TV series as much, but a TV episode or a film or whatever, it will show the age of the cast members in that film or episode at the time of release, which admittedly, you know, that it was presumably, whatever this is presumably filmed like 6 months right. or a year before, but at least it gives you a thumb in the wind.
No, I love it. That happens a lot with old movies where you're like, how old is, I mean, a lot of times it's like these two characters are supposed to be paired together and you're like, how much older is he? And right, then also exactly. sometimes it's like, how young is that person then?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got all that in there. Now, do you, you don't have any data about where to find these things, right? You don't have any, like, where is this thing streaming in call sheet?
I do, actually. Oh, okay. Thank you for the prompt. So one of the great things about the movie database is that they have a relationship with Just Watch, which is a great website that will show you where you can stream things. And so you can specify what country you're in. And from a TV show or a film, you can look at Just Watch and it will show you where you can stream for free, where you can stream to rent, where you can buy, and so on and so forth, which is also very convenient as well. There's a bunch of other tricks and features in Call Sheet that I really enjoy, which I could talk your ear off about, but this is not supposed to be a sponsorship. So I'll just say it is worth trying out. It's a free trial. You get up to 20 searches for free. After that, you have to pay $1 a month or 10 bucks a year. I'm pretty sure that's right. I haven't looked at my pricing in a long time. But anyways, suffice to say, it's very affordable. And I really do believe that it's a much better option than IMDb, which is too bad because if IMDb didn't stink, I would never have written this app. So,
yeah. Also, I mean, there are some apps. So Prime Video is one and Apple's TV app is now one as well. Have this thing that Prime calls it X-ray.
Where
it will bring up when you pause it, basically, or tap, you can bring up like who's in this scene and you can surf around there, which is nice and all. But the truth is, I don't want to pause it. I don't want to interrupt the viewing. Yeah, I find the who is that person? What else? Where do I know them from? I really prefer that as a second screen experience.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. So, it's I use it all the time, and not just because you're my friend, but because I really like it. And I find Lauren is looking things up all the time when she's watching stuff with me. Like, it's just it's great. So, I think it's a cool feature that just a regular old person has written a thing that's a great companion for viewing things. In the long run, what I think should probably happen in that second screen is that it should, you know, your device and whatever software is running on it should detect what you're watching, probably by audio, and know what mm-hmm. scene it is and know who's in it and provide that. And I think Apple may actually even do this because they're synced with what's on the Apple TV screen. But, like, you know, there are ways to discover what it is you're watching right now and do X-ray, but on that second screen with detail. But, you know, I don't know. The truth is they can't even make a single interface that tells you all the episodes of all the shows you've watched, because somebody, Netflix, is going to ruin it for everybody. So I doubt that day will come anytime soon. But until then, there's Call Sheet. So thank you.
Yep. No, I very much appreciate it. The funny thing is that Apple has their own interface by which Apple can know what's right. going on an Apple TV.
Right.
But for understandable or mostly understandable reasons, they don't want to let third party people like me get at that, because I would use it for forces of good. Yeah. But there are other companies that would use it for forces of evil.
I will tell you, I hate it when I flip open my iPad or my iPhone and it shows me what's playing on my Apple TV right now. And then I go to Call Sheet and I have to re-enter it. And I know my phone knows, or my iPad knows, what's playing. And it should be able to use that information and pass it to you if I give it permission, right? I'll give it permission.
Right.
I hate that. That's so annoying, because it would be really nice if apps could ask for permission to know it was playing on your Apple TV. But maybe someday. Who knows?
One day.
This episode of Downstream is brought to you by Factor. You may be thinking about keeping health top of mind as you head into this new year, but you might not have time to cook for yourself, right? Factor makes it easy. They have fully prepared meals. They're designed by dietitians. They're crafted by chefs. So you can eat well without the shopping or the cooking. With Factor, you can expect quality, functional ingredients, including lean proteins, colorful veggies, whole food ingredients, and healthy fats. There are no refined sugars, no artificial sweeteners, no refined seed oils. So you can consistently enjoy meals that fit your goals and your schedule, whether your focus is healthier eating, calorie management, or more protein. The Factor meals, my favorites are the chicken, honestly. And that's in part because I learned at a young age, you can't microwave chicken because it tastes weird and smells weird. And I don't know what Factor does. Well, I mean, I have theories, but, like, I use the microwave and in 2 minutes, the chicken meal is ready. Like with mashed potatoes, or with, like, there's like a cauliflower mash. Like, it's really good. And it doesn't smell weird and it doesn't taste weird. It tastes like chicken should. I don't know. It is amazing. It's a magic thing that they do. There's a lot of variety. My mom wants salmon. So I throw a couple of salmon, at least in her order. We get Factor from my mom because she doesn't cook for herself and I want her to eat better. So we pay for Factor for her and she loves the Factor salmon. They've got 100 different rotating weekly meals. Options include high protein, calorie smart, Mediterranean diet, GLP-1 support, ready to eat salads, plus the new Muscle Pro collection to support strength and recovery. Factor meals are always fresh, never frozen, and ready in about 2 minutes. No prep, no stress. Could not recommend it more. I'm feeding my mother with this, and she loves it. My wife steals the Factors from our fridge when we get them and takes them to work with her because she works at a job in a library, and she needs lunch. And so she can just take it a couple of minutes. She's got a really nice, good, warm lunch. And if there are any left, I can also have them at home here myself. Go to factormeals.com/downstream50off and use code downstream50off to get 50% off your first Factor box plus free breakfast for a year. That offer is only valid for new Factor customers with the code and a qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. Make healthier eating easy with Factor. Thank you to Factor for supporting Downstream and all of Relay. All right, let's talk about your predicament. So now on a I think it was a post show or a plus, you know, members extension. I don't know where it was, but on your Accidental Tech podcast, you talked about your television dilemma, and that's why you're here, because I heard a tortured, tormented soul cry out because you have some issues where the cable card, the venerable cable card, which is this thing that lets you use hardware that is not controlled by your cable company, and it's, which has been great and enabled TiVo to exist for a long time, using cable channels and not just sort of like the standard, you know, over the coax or over broadcast channels. It allowed other things like the HD Home Run, other external boxes, basically, to look at your cable channels. And that gave everybody some freedom to have a TiVo. Or I know that you use Channels, which is a great app that I also pay for and use to have an interface to your cable system. But cable cards are on their way out, and I guess Verizon announced to its customers that they should prepare for the inevitable doom of their cable cards at a point in the future, which leaves you with a dilemma, because any of us who've been in this situation before recognize it, which is not that you want to change, but that change is going to be forced upon you. And so what's that change going to be in how you consume television?
Right, exactly. And so just to briefly recap, I mean, you mostly covered it, but I use a HD Home Run with a cable card, like Jason said, in order to capture television or watch television. I use the Channels app as both my DVR and my view into television. So yep. The only entertainment thing that, or non-video game thing connected to my TV is an Apple TV. And when I watch regular television, live television, I'm doing that on my Apple TV with the Channels app.
Yeah.
And if I want to watch something else, I use one of the other apps. And basically, channels I treat as things that are ephemeral, things I'm going to want to watch once and then never again. It's my DVR for things I want to watch one time, then it'll go away. Whereas I'm also a devout user of Plex, which is more of a media library thing, and it's more about it, or to me anyway, I view that as my long-term storage, which is to say, if it's something I'm going to want to come back to more than once, then I can put it in Plex. And what's great about channels is, because it's all just an app on my Mac Mini and an app on my Apple TV, I can actually take the recording that channels has made. Like, for example, we're recording this in January, and every holiday season, Disney will do a bunch of different specials about the holiday season, you know, with music and so on. And I like to capture these and save them so we can watch them in future years.
Right.
And so I had channels record them. And then I took the files off of my Mac Mini. I compressed them and stuck them in Plex. And now they'll live there forevermore. And this is all well and good and works great. And as Jason said, I have no intent to change it. However, Verizon in some major metro areas like New York and I think Boston has sent mailings to their customers saying the cable card is going away. We will not offer it anymore and it will not work soon. And we will be going all IPTV in the future.
Yeah.
Now, I have not yet personally received this, but Smart Money says it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, there's two issues going on here. One is this sort of pack ratting issue. And we're not going to get deep into that because that is, I actually have an opinion about where the pack rat stuff should go for you, which is, honestly, I think if you pay for media and then you want to pack rat it and there's piracy, I'm okay with it, but we're going to leave that on the side. It's like, I don't believe in piracy as a thing to get your content, but I do believe that if you have something that you paid for and that there's no way to save it. I had a TiVo full of old stuff and then the hard drive crashed and I lost it all, which was super sad.
Oh, no.
But what I want to talk about is the fact that you're going to be at some point forced to move. And this is part of an issue, where look, when I got my first TiVo in 2001, I no longer watched commercials after that. I had complete control over my viewing experience. It was great. The truth is everybody wants to put the screws to you now. Everybody wants to control all the content. They want to be able to put it on and take it off. They want to dictate how you watch it. They want to force you to watch their commercials. You know, they want to force you to go through their interface, their box. We are entering the digital era that freed us for a while is now forging chains for us in terms of our entertainment. It's very frustrating. I don't like it. So that's all out there. But we do, as our listeners know, live in a world where you've got options. You've got streaming, you've got cable and satellite and virtual cable like YouTube and Fubo and Hulu Plus with live TV. You got choices, which is nice because if you lived in a place with one cable company, you had no choice. So that's all good. But there are so many choices and everybody wants to charge you for something. And so what I wanted to do with you is walk through what you want out of your television. This is a cable cutting exercise, basically. This is, I mm-hmm. think, the thing that everybody either should go through or needs to go through or has gone through in terms of what do you want to watch and where is it and what are your best options. So I wanted to start this interview with you, essentially, by saying, Casey, in leaving aside your pack rack tendencies, right? We'll deal with mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. one way or another, and we may sure. come back to that. And you, we should say, for people who don't know you, you live in Virginia. You have a wife and two children who are school age children. So everybody is consuming content and you are basically the IT provider for the house. So you're going to, if the kids don't have something that they want to watch, if your wife, Erin, has something she wants to watch and it's not available, they're going to come to you, buddy. So yep. Tell me, what are your entertainment and sports, I also want to cover sports consumption needs in the house, leaving aside your pack rat Plex library,
sure.
because we'll deal with that later.
Sure. So on the surface, this seems like an easy problem until you start pulling on the thread a little bit.
Well, that's exactly because the problem with all of these conversations is you think you've got an easy solution and then you go, but wait a second. And then it all
exactly.
becomes complicated.
That's exactly it. And so the reason I say that is twofold. First of all, Verizon Fios currently, anyway, offers a service called TV Everywhere.
Yes.
And or is a member, perhaps, is a mm-hmm. better way of phrasing it, of TV Everywhere. And what this is, and Jason, please correct me or jump in when you're ready, but it's basically an agreement that a bunch of cable providers have. And what that lets you do is sign in. It's like Movies Anywhere.
Yeah,
is that right?
Well, the way I would put it is there was a time when not everybody had like an internet stream of their TV channel. And so this consortium basically agreed to a standard where they would all offer these channels behind a cable login, essentially, so that mm-hmm. your local cable company didn't need to offer an internet stream per se, because the internet stream was already back there that was being provided by all these providers, so that all you needed to do was validate. And I'll give you an example, which is as a Fubo subscriber, and actually I think even as a YouTube TV subscriber, I was able to get access to these channels, and it includes some surprising things. Like during the wildfires a year ago in LA, I could just stream an LA TV station. using this because they were on the list, along with what used to be like a very long list of channels. Although over the last couple of years, a lot of those channels have popped off of that
more generic stream.
And the rationale, I think, is because they have built their own app and their own streaming environment and their own subscription product. And now they want you to get it that way, where it's completely, again, locked down under their control instead of you being kind of free and easy. Because you can wire TV anywhere into channels. And I do. I mean, that's actually how I get Jeopardy recorded on DVR on my computer, is I get that through TV Anywhere through channels rather than just using YouTube TV. So it's an option that you're using now, but I think NBC dropped out of it, and I'm not sure if Fox dropped out of it, but like a lot of the content, it's clear where that's going. It's going away.
That's the problem. So that's the thing. So if we look at my situation right now, I pay for a cable subscription through Verizon Fios, and on the surface, the easiest thing to do is if they take my cable card from me, then fine, I'll just rely on TV Everywhere. The problem, though, is that, and I haven't gone through the fine-tooth comb and looked at what the difference is, but I can tell you that according to channels, I have 321 channels available to me on my HD Home Run with the cable card. I have 151, so roughly half that, a little less than half that, available to me via TV Everywhere. And as you said, Jason, I think it was a year or two ago that NBC dropped or pulled all of their stuff from TV Everywhere. And as you said, I think that's 100% a canary in the coal mine, that this is going to be happening more and more. And I suspect that TV Everywhere is likely to go away, or certainly not be as useful as it is today sometime soon. So then the next step is, all right, well, what is it you watch? Which is where we started this a moment ago. And most of what we watch is actually on terrestrial channels, you know, ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC. And for that, I have an easy solution. I can just take a different kind of HD Home Run, I don't think it would work with the one I have, but there's a different kind of HD Home Run, which takes in a coaxial input that you can feed from a digital TV
over
antenna.
The air.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can put an antenna in a window, and I have done this in the past, and you can usually, depending on where you live and depending on how hilly it is, hey, Jason, you can get...
I can't, but yes.
Exactly. You can get some or all of the big four normal to traditional stations, NBC, CBS, Fox, ABC, through the air for free in HD. Like, it's usually really, really good. If I recall correctly, because I haven't done this in years, I think one of them, it might have been Fox, I could not get over the air. But on the surface, that would be fine.
Okay.
Except... we're friends. This is a friendly place. Mm-hmm. This is a judgment-free zone, or at least I'm going to assume
Safe
that when
space.
I tell you, when I tell you that for all of our many wonderful perks, especially my beloved wife, Erin, both of us, not just her, really like a lot of really trash TV, just truly terrible, unequivocally, unimpeachably terrible television.
So you need cable
most
for
of
that.
Which, well, most of which resides on Bravo, which is cable. And I'm not trying to defend my choices, but they are my choices. You know, there are many like them, but this one is mine.
Casey, the fact is, and downstream listeners know this, when NBC Universal decided to divest all of its cable channels and push them out onto the ice floe, they kept Bravo.
Right, exactly.
They kept Bravo. Because they're like, no, you don't get Bravo. Bravo is too valuable. We're going to do no cable channels except Bravo. Bravo, stay here. So you're not alone. An entire conglomerate agrees with you that Bravo has value above and beyond what the USA Network and the Sci-Fi Channel and MSNBC and all of that were, where they just shoved all of those out into their spinoff company. They kept Bravo. Okay, so you got Bravo. You can do over the air and Bravo. What else is in your TV diet that you don't want to lose?
So I think that I could probably make Bravo work one way or another. And so if we take that as writ, that I can make Bravo work, then I still got my over the air antenna, and things are still looking pretty good for me.
Yep.
And then I tell you that I really, really enjoy football, both college football and the NFL.
Okay.
And that means I need me some ESPN, and I probably need me some regional sports networks like the ACC network.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a problem.
And for NFL, you maybe need Fox, CBS, NBC, Amazon Prime Video, occasionally Netflix.
Yep.
And Peacock, I think.
And I'm not committed enough. I'm a New York Giants fan, which makes me miserable for the last 10 to 15 years. Yeah, exactly.
Couldn't even get the number one pick in the draft. It's really sad.
I know. We even screwed that up. And Aaron is a Giants fan, but has also become a very big Ravens fan, which which is going better, but still not great.
Still not great.
But nevertheless, that's where things become challenging. And we don't need to watch every single game. And
right.
I am too cheap / frugal / smart to pay for a Sunday ticket, which is hundreds of dollars.
And
if you're not familiar, it gives you basically every NFL game. I think there's asterisks and daggers and double daggers.
Yeah, no. It gives you everything that's on the CBS and Fox Sunday day packages that aren't available in your market. So for you,
exactly,
for example, that would mean that you could see that Giants game that's not being shown because in your region, because they're showing a Panthers game or a Commanders game.
Exactly.
Let's say.
Usually Commanders. Exactly.
Or the Dallas Cowboys, because.
Yes, indeed. So in summary, it was okay until I said Bravo and until I said football. And then I think everything takes a turn.
So a few things going on here. I'm going to give you caveats, but like, first off, you're over the air, and this is a thing that is true for everybody. If you have access to over-the-air channels, I mean, not only are you going to get your networks at HD quality, and there are caveats there, too. They're kind of trying to ruin it. There's a new ATSC standard that includes 4K, but it also includes encryption, which means that it breaks a lot of these boxes because they can't decrypt because, again, they want to control everything, which is too bad. But there is still over-the-air HD, and if you can get it, and you buy some of these boxes. TiVo used to make an over-the-air box. I think they don't anymore because they stopped making TiVos. It's too bad because that was an option too. But like Casey said, depending on how technically savvy you are, or even if you just got a TV with a tuner, you can get some over-the-air stuff that might solve network shows, also sports, live sports. And they have a lot of sub-channels that have things that are kind of like cable channels, except not. They're sub-channels. Things like Cozy TV and stuff where it's old TV shows and things like that. And obviously, you're like PBS station will often have like sub-channels with public affairs and kids and all sorts of things that are running. It's a cool thing. If you are in an area fortunate enough to see or be like I grew up hundreds of miles, like 100 miles away from San Francisco, and we could get San Francisco stations over the air, which is amazing. I now live a 15 minute drive from San Francisco and I can't get anything because I'm behind hills. I'm behind a mountain. So I just can't do it. So it's a shame. But so that's number one. That's not a bad start because that's going to give you completely unencumbered. Bravo is, I believe all the Bravo shows, because NBC kept it, I believe all the Bravo stuff is going to be on Peacock. So that's an option, right? Mm-hmm. As a streaming service, because NBC loves Bravo. And one of the reasons they kept Bravo is they want all that Bravo stuff on Peacock. So that would give you a leg up as well. And we go to football. And this is an issue. Although I will say you've got some options here. College football, primarily ESPN in some form, if you get ESPN, and now they offer ESPN, you know, the ultimate flagship. They don't really have it. It's kind of not a name, but you know what I mean. It's there. You can pay to get ESPN even if you don't have a service that offers ESPN. And that would get you.
Actually, and let me jump in there very quickly and point out that when you said I have school-age children, to be clear, I have a fifth grader and a second grader. So Disney Plus will 100% be a thing in my life for the next several years.
And there's YouTube channels, and there may be other sources of entertainment too. Although they may come back and say, there's this thing that I watched at a friend's house and where is it? And you're like,
exactly. But I bring this up to say that if I'm already in the Disney Plus world, I believe there's an ESPN like bundle with Disney Plus or something like that. Or maybe it's
so
all
there are
three.
A bunch of ways to get ESPN, including a bundle with Disney that will give you a deal on it. And the new ESPN service that launched last year offers all the content that's on ESPN's cable channels and their affiliated cable channels, which includes the ACC channel and
which
is your team's and the SEC and my team. And the SEC channel, I believe, is a part of that as well. So it's like it's a lot of college sports and college football on the ESPN service. So between that And over the air, you might actually be really satisfied with what football is available. And if you throw in Peacock, you're also going to get, even if you couldn't get the NBC channel over the air, you would get football via Sunday Night Football via Peacock, and you'll get Monday Night Football via ESPN. So this is shaping up. You might actually be in a pretty good place. Now, I'm going to give you the caveat here, which is what I discovered, which is there is still a gap in this, which is, for me, it was that there's a carriage dispute between NBC and Fubo right now.
Oh, yep.
And you've heard me say this before, but essentially Fubo was like, oh, we'll give you $15 to get Peacock, since all the stuff that NBC does on Peacock is on Peacock. And it's not true. It turns out that they put certain soccer games on the USA Network, which they don't even own anymore, but there's a deal there. And the USA Network is only available if you get cable or satellite or an over-the-top cable replica, because it's not on Peacock, because it's a USA Network exclusive or whatever. So frustrating. It essentially means, like, if you want to watch the best soccer game, which right now my favorite soccer team is the best soccer team, so it's usually them, you have to pay $70 a month for this cable replica in order to get it. Very frustrating. The advantage of those cable service like things is they do offer some degree of access to the TV Anywhere service that you're talking about, right? So with Fubo, I actually got access to all of those channels, and I could watch the wildfire coverage on the local CBS channel in LA. So it's an option, but they're expensive, right? I mean, we are talking about $70 or $80 a month for that, which is your cable cost, right?
It's
cable. And whether you get it through Verizon or you get it through YouTube TV, it's a huge step up. It gets you a zillion channels, including kind of almost everything you're looking for. But I think for a lot of people, the question is, do I have to do it?
Yep. And I'm looking as you're talking at, okay, let's say I do over the air plus Disney plus ESPN plus Peacock. And over the air is effectively free. It's one time costs and that's it. And I actually think I literally have all of the hardware I need already in my house because I'm a dork.
Yep.
But looking at it, and I haven't done a lot of research. I've done 30 seconds of research, but it looks like Disney, Hulu, and ESPN Unlimited is $45 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Then Peacock is an additional $11 a month. So I'm at, what is that, $56 a month, which is not that far away from what you're talking about with like a YouTube TV
and
you or
would
what
not
have
be,
you.
You would not be using, you would not be paying for TV on Verizon Fios, right? That's part of this.
True.
Is that you would drop that. And so that that cost, which is probably $70 a month, would go away.
You're right.
Right. Now, if you, the truth is, if you get YouTube TV, you don't have to pay for ESPN.
Right.
Because it comes with.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a value. It's a real value. Because the ESPN service is kind of, if you don't have some other service that gives you ESPN, then you can just pay for it. But it's it. And this, I think, is a trend. And we've talked about it on this show. And I'll just mention it again here, which is, I think more people are going to opt for keeping their cable or keeping YouTube TV or something like that, rather than going to all these different packages, because part of the strategy is to roll things like ESPN into what you get when you subscribe. And that changes the economics, right? If YouTube TV is $70 or $80, but it includes ESPN, which otherwise you're going to have to spend $20 or $25 or $30 to get, it becomes a much better deal. And similarly, you know, if there's some other thing you get, like I have AT&T fiber and I get HBO Max. It's a grandfathered plan from back when they owned it, but I'm not touching it, and I get HBO Max with it. So that's a thing I don't have to pay for. So so it may be that for some people, the thing that makes the most sense is to use their cable or fiber provider, or to use an over-the-top service like Hulu Plus Live TV or Sling or YouTube TV or Fubo, and there are others. Now, I wanted to mention, we may have gotten you a good deal here regardless, but I wanted to mention this. There is a fantastic site that people should use that is suppose.tv.
This is incredible. You told me about this privately a week or so ago, and it is incredible.
Yeah, so you're able to click, like, what channels do I care about? And then, like, even star, like, channels I have to have. And it will then compare what plans are available on all of those streamers that give you what you want. Did you walk through that?
Yeah, so I put in all the locals, ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, ESPN, ESPN2. Oh, shoot, I didn't think about ACC Network. Hold on, I got to add that. But I also included Bravo. And before I add ACC Network, the best option, allegedly, is DirecTV at $85 a month, which I'm not sure why that says that's the best fit, but it does. Meanwhile, it says I could save $2 with YouTube TV at $83 a month. Once I add the ACC Network, however, that changes the arrangement such that it says the best fit is the $83 a month YouTube TV.
Yeah. And it knows where you are and it knows your region and all of that. And the funny thing is, again, if you get Peacock, you've basically got your local NBC. And if you have Paramount Plus, but those all add up. And one of these services will give you kind of all that stuff, unless they're in a carriage dispute. But enough about that right now, that Fubo doesn't have those things. And I see it here. And like, if you want all of those things, what I see is, there's Hulu with live TV gets you everything. And that's $90 a month, which is a lot of money. But the challenge here is to balance, like if you take all the ESPN networks out, and this is the truth of it, then you're left with Bravo, but then you take Bravo out because you figure, well, I can just get that on Peacock, and then you're just left with locals. And if you can get all the locals, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And if you can't get all the locals, there are packages for your locals that are way cheaper, right? Like that is where you get your DirecTV or your Sling, where you're paying $40 a month and getting all your locals and some other channels. You are not in the boat that I am, where I also need to get a baseball team, right? Although that has also changed, where I can now stream my local baseball team. I don't have to get cable to get it. Although, again, I think that in some ways, maybe my best deal is going to be to get cable to get it, especially since I can't do over the air. That's the real killer here, is that although you can theoretically get NBC on Peacock and CBS on Paramount Plus and Fox on the new Fox streaming service that they offer and ABC on Hulu/Disney+, you're going to miss stuff. You're not going to get everything or ESPN on ESPN, I should say too. So it's hard. One of the challenges, if you're a decider of this stuff, this is what I was saying earlier, is you could say, we're going to try this out. You are risking having your family rebel against you, right?
Yep. Very much so.
That's your real danger. So I don't know what to tell you as my final advice to you, but I feel like what you ought to investigate, we're in the Dr. Jason is going to tell you what to do.
Hold on, let me lie down on the couch.
Yeah,
hold on one second.
I think you should very much investigate getting your over-the-air channels, because I think that would actually help you a lot. If you have that ability to get those for essentially free with an antenna out your window or on your roof, and it's going to get it to you in the interface that you're accustomed, which is pretty nice. You can try that out and see how that goes for you and see what's on there. If you don't have Peacock, try Peacock out. See what if all your Bravo stuff is there. But I think that might be able to do that. ESPN, you already have cable. So as long as you've got cable, you've got what ESPN would give you, which is all of those things. And then, I don't know. I mean, you could, and I do the math too, because I did this. I had a whole spreadsheet where I did this, where I was trying to figure out, if I went to fiber, what TV service would I use? What would my internet cost? What would the TV cost? And I think in the end, I am saving money because I did the math. You kind of have to do the math. This is why bundles are so successful. This is why the bundles always happen. It's like, you might be able to save money, maybe, but like it's so much more effort to have things like, I'm going to cancel this and bring this back. And then I get a bundle here with a deal with this and all that. And like it used to be, you just wrote your check for your cable bill and you were done. So it's harder, but I think if you do the math, you may be able to get to a point where you're comfortable with the idea of not having your Verizon TV service anymore. By the way, one of the things you've got to price is, what does your internet cost without TV?
Yes, very much
because
so. Because
they're
probably
bundling them together, which means the price of your internet will go up when your TV disappears, which is how they get you.
Yep. And I'm also bundling. I used to be an AT&T wireless customer, and then I forget what was going on, but I was on a legacy plan that they were sunsetting aggressively, and it ended up being exorbitantly expensive for me to stay on that plan. And then we went to Verizon Wireless, which we were actually and we were actually on Verizon prior to AT&T, but then iPhone. But anyway, the point is, Verizon Wireless, my wireless bill, I forget what it is off the top of my head, but it's astonishingly expensive. So I might be going crawling back to AT&T anyway.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, this is a time, it's a lot of work, but this is a time when you can do stuff like this and say, well, what are the differences? Like, I absolutely did that, which is like, well, Comcast is offering me, gigabit cable. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. 1 gig cable. Right. What is that price? What is the 1 gig fiber price? And then like they have their AT&T UVerse TV offering. It's like, well, what does that cost? And what is Fubo cost? And what does YouTube cost? And you know, you end up having to tote all of that up and say, oh, well, but this, if I go this way, I don't get this service bundled, so I have to pay for it. But if I do it over here, I get this service bundled and I don't have to pay for that. And you have to do all the math. There's a lot of math going on here, but the reason to do this isn't just to save money, although it might save you money, but it's also to give you a new place of maybe stability if your cable card gets taken away. And you may find, I mean, this is the funny thing, Casey, is you may find that this is the impetus for that, but that once you look into the over the air and having some stuff on streaming and paying for like ESPN, you may realize, oh, I don't actually need the stuff I'm paying for. Or you may find that it's actually much more convenient to have the stuff that you're paying for. I don't know how it's going to go. I think the good news for a lot of people, including you, is something like YouTube TV or Hulu Plus Live TV is basically a drop-in replacement for your Verizon cable. And it does, the truth is, as more and more stuff disappears from your TV anywhere and is disappearing off of your cable card, you will get to the point where there won't be a way. I mean, I guess Verizon probably has an app on the Apple TV that you could use, and it's probably terrible. But like,
that's my understanding is that they're pushing people to IPTV, their own IPTV.
Right. So you should be able to stay on the Apple TV as your primary, as your TV watching device, regardless.
Sure.
But like the nice thing about having all those other options is if there's another service that has a package that includes the channels you care about, you just pick it and it doesn't affect your internet and it doesn't affect your phone bill or anything like that. Cause those just kind of remain with Verizon and then everything else you can just flip around and that is freedom, but it's also frustration because you have to do the research. And I'll also, the warning I'll give to you and to everybody out there is what I discovered with my mom's cable, which is some cable companies and other kind of like home cable to your house companies, they love promo pricing where they give you something for cheap. And my advice, and this is very dad advice here, but I'm going to give it to you, is if they give you a price that seems too good to be true, look again and see what the actual price is, because they'll give you that price for a month or for 3 months. And then your bill is going to go way up. And I've literally seen things that are like, it's only $30 a month for 2 months. And then it's $90 a month. And you're like, well, that's not even close. That's triple the price. And it's like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why they do it, is they want to suck you in with a low price. And then it turns out it's a much higher price. I had to do this with my mom, and I actually saved her like $120 a month or something by getting her off of some plan that had been low and went up. And I was like, you don't need this, and you don't need these channels. My mom doesn't want to use apps. She wants to use the cable box. She's comfortable with that metaphor. So I'm just going to like, okay, we're going to still use the cable box, but you don't need to be on this plan, and your internet doesn't need to be that, and you don't need a digital phone. Let's take that stuff out and get you down lower. But, you know, she was sold a cheaper bundle, but it was a, trial, raises after 3 months or a year or whatever it was. It's not great.
Yeah.
So this is actually, Casey, honestly, I think you're actually in a better position than most people are, unless, I mean, this is the thing, you do all this and then you realize that there's a thing you haven't planned. And you're like, oh no.
Exactly.
What about that? Yeah. Like how I felt when, it doesn't matter that NBC's not on Fubo anymore because I have Peacock, and then Arsenal was on the USA Network. And I was like,
oh no,
I literally can't watch this thing that I'm paying so much for all this stuff. And I literally can't watch it without paying $70 to someone else for one cable channel, which is very silly. And I hope that is a temporary thing. And I know that YouTube TV and other companies have forced, and cable companies have basically forced NBC to make a new sports channel just to put some of the stuff that's on Peacock on a channel so that they can give it to their customers.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this will all get resolved as those cable channels kind of drift out on under the ice flow. But it's not great.
I want to reiterate something you kind of said offhandedly earlier. And because I'm a dork, I keep thinking of this is in terms of the infrastructure required in terms of hardware. And I keep talking about how, oh, I have an HD home run that works with an antenna and I also have an antenna and blah, blah, blah. But you made an excellent point that I wanted to call out once more, which is that I would choose to use an HD home run hooked up to the antenna because I'm a dork and that's what I like to do. And I want to use the channels app and so on and so forth. But as you pointed out very briefly earlier, most modern TVs, as far as I know, you can hook the antenna directly into the TV. Yeah. And I want to call that out. You don't need to be scared by the way I'm approaching things.
No, it's
because
true.
You can just do it directly into the TV and you have your TV scan for channels and then you watch channels.
You're not necessarily going to be able to DVR them, but I think there are also, I said, TiVo, the nice thing about that last TiVo box was that it was an over-the-air box with a hard drive in it, so you could record things as well as watch things live. And I think there are probably boxes out there that do something like that. It's kind of like a cable box for your antenna, but I don't know what they are. So that is a challenge for this, is if you're used to recording things and watching them later. I mean, it's different if you're just watching live TV, news or sports or something like that. But yeah, it doesn't have to be as complicated as Casey's making it. I guess that's a fair thing to say.
It
can be you're that is one of your outliers. So let's talk about the pack rat thing really briefly. To say if you keep Verizon or you use one of these other services that give you some access to that stream that's recordable, that's great. You have, that's like where my Jeopardy is, right? Like, that's great. Otherwise, the truth is that everything is going toward you don't have a copy of it. It's streamed. And it doesn't bother me that much. I do buy like some shows that I really love. I buy the 4K Blu-ray when it comes out or something. And I will put those on my Plex as well. And it's like I love this and I want to have it in all forms forever. Great. But I don't have that tendency like you do. And this is one of those things that I'm going to just repeat what I said earlier, which is going to be heresy to some people, which is, I think that if you paid to see it the first time, I'm okay with you. I consider it essentially the equivalent of TiVoing it. Like, if you want to go down into the depths of piracy in order to keep a copy of a thing that you are paying to watch so that you can watch it later, I'm not going to read you the Riot Act. I'm not going to say that's where my moral line, that's where I choose to draw it, is like if you're place shifting or space shifting in order to have a show that you like. I mean, honestly, like I buy the Blu-rays of it, but like if you pay for Paramount Plus to watch Star Trek and you want a copy of that file to watch later, not on Paramount Plus, and you're still, especially if you're still paying for Paramount, like, just, I don't care. I just don't care. So I think if you're that kind of a level of a pack rat and you want to delve into the world of piracy, look, you're not going to have me read you the Riot Act. I believe that we should pay for the entertainment that we get, but I also believe that the entertainment companies chaining us down and preventing us from doing what we want to make our lives more convenient. Like, I always felt this way about, there was a long period in there where you couldn't download like Netflix or something to watch on a plane. And they finally got the religion about it, but it's like, if you're not going to let me watch your shows on a plane and I'm paying for Netflix, well, I'm not going to feel bad about downloading your show from the internet, right? I'm just not, because you are eliminating my freedom to watch the thing that I am paying you for. So I know that there are arguments about like, well, you know, but you're not, what about Paramount Plus, and you cancel it and then you still got the Star Trek files? Like, yeah. I mean, there are details here. I get it. There's nuance here. I don't want any, it's hard enough for the entertainment companies right now. I don't want people who make TV shows and movies to lose their jobs. I don't want any of that. But at the same time, I think we need to acknowledge the fact that a lot of this technology is being used to make our lives as viewers worse because we're a captive audience and they can control us. And I don't like that aspect of it. So this is my way, as the Pope of Downstream and the Master of Ceremonies, to bless your piracy to a certain degree, Casey. Five Our Fathers three Hail Marys, and then you can go about your business.
You got it. Yeah, I mean, and the thing of it is that most of the stuff that I'm consuming over the air, I mean, I there's very little that I want to be a pack rat about, right? It's
sure.
It's very, very, very occasional. It's very disposable. It's very ephemeral. But there are occasions where there's something that I'm going to record that I want to keep. As a silly example, I don't think it would make or break a cable package or a cable replacement package for me. But even though I'm not a particular country music fan, CMT Crossroads is an incredible series where they take a country artist and like a pop artist and have them do each other's songs together. And I will, in channels, record those, and I'll watch them once, and most of them I throw away and never watch again. And occasionally I'll save one to Plex because it's really freaking good. And that is a perfect example of how 99% of what I watch in channels is deleted immediately. Well, not literally immediately, as soon as I watch it.
Yeah.
But there's occasions where I want to save something. And you know, I'm sure I could find a CMT Crossroads on the internet if I tried hard enough.
Yeah. Well, and it's on Paramount Plus. So, you know, you can get it that way if you've got Paramount Plus. Mm-hmm. But I think the point here is, right, but if I paid for cable, and this is the thing, the TiVo argument, right? It's like, but if I paid for cable and I recorded it to watch later, I should just be able to watch it later. I shouldn't have to go pay for Paramount Plus to watch that thing because it came over and I'm time shifting it, which is legal to time shift things. Circumventing DRM isn't, but legal to time shift things. A troubling thing that I found is, I think Fubo says their virtual DVR is forever, but I think YouTube now says that their virtual DVR is only for like 90 days or 120 days. And I hate that too, because that's like, there's a show you want to save. And they're like, well, you can save it-ish for a while and then not. And I don't like that at all. I'm still a little grumpy about the fact that I recorded the last episode of David Letterman on my TiVo and then the hard drive crashed and I lost, and you can get it on YouTube. It's fine, whatever. But like, I had saved that and a bunch of other stuff. I was like, well, I'm going to save this. And then I don't like it being gone. We should have that ability. It's like, if I paid for it and it came across, I know there's the argument. I was like, well, you only paid to watch it the one time and the license and all that. It's like, yeah, but I think morally, if I pay for access to this thing and I don't want to watch it now, or I might want to watch it again later, I have a hard time buying the argument that, that you don't have that right to do that. And the Supreme Court, by the way, also did not buy that argument. And that's why VCRs existed. The problem is that new technology gets devised that's cool and all, but also gets devised to prevent us from doing that, which is very frustrating, especially if it's a favorite show of yours. There was that, I don't know if you saw it, but there was on social media, there was a post the other week about somebody who was in the middle of a rewatch of a TV show, and literally mid-episode, the playback stopped. And they went, and it had been removed from the service. And they're like,
cool.
While they were watching, it had been removed from the service. I think it was like Columbo or something. And they're like, what just happened? It's not good. I don't like it. Thumbs down. So, before we go, we have a couple other segments. But before that, I guess I should ask you, you doing okay? You thinking about this? You're going to process this?
Yeah, I definitely need to noodle on it. I see spreadsheets in my future. I never watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but you know that still image of, was it Charlie Day with like all the yarn all over him? I feel like that's my future, to try to figure all this out and figure out which direction to go. I think before I do anything else, and you've said this several times, I should dig out that old HD home run that I was using previously.
Yeah, get your over-the-air story up and running and see how it goes. See what's on there.
At least figure it out. Yeah. Exactly right. Especially because I could swear, and I'm probably wrong because I have a terrible memory, but I could swear that at least one or two of the channels that I got over the air years ago now, I think they might have even come in 4K from time to time.
Yeah,
or at least
there's issues with the, like I said,
such.
With the encryption and the compatibility there, but you should look. You should definitely look, especially since some of that stuff like NBC is not going to be available elsewhere because they've yanked it off of the TV anywhere, but you could get it over the air. Yeah, you should give it a try.
I think a homework assignment for me for sure is to bust out the home run and the antenna and just see how it goes. So I at least know what I'm working with and take it from there.
And maybe be aware of what, and this is advice for everybody, be aware of what you're consuming, where it's coming from. And because if you know what you need to see, and so you've given me the example here, like network, Bravo, and football, college and pro.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you watch TV with your awareness of that, you will notice if there's something that you haven't taken into account, or if you may feel the fact that oh, actually, there's so much here that I'm never, ever using. And that can inform your choice. Because I would say, if you go into this thinking, I've spent the last 6 months paying attention to what we watch, and I don't need to keep paying for Fios TV. Because between the over-the-air and Peacock and ESPN, we got it covered. Then you can enter that phase with much more confidence that you're not going to have to go running back to Verizon when your kids are angry at you.
Right, exactly. That is exactly what would happen.
Okay, let's talk. I got a letter from a listener here that I want to read. Casey, you'll appreciate the fact that this is not a podcast where you have to read the letters out loud.
I'll do it. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
This is Steven from the Plus 61. What do you think about the surprising global success of Heated Rivalry and the role of small streamers like Crave in feeding high quality content to the bigger services like HBO Max? Would also be quite interested in your thoughts on the disclosure that Heated Rivalry is a pro-Canadian, pro-queer, pro-hope jab back at Hollywood in the increasingly geopolitical landscape of content production. Love to your mothers. Thank you, Steven. For people who don't know, Heated Rivalry is a it's like the show people are talking about right now, and it's about two hockey players who are secretly in love. Casey and I will appreciate the fact that it is from Jacob Tierney, who is one of the two people behind Letterkenny. And it's really spreading wild by word of mouth. I don't know if Steven's angle here about small streamers feeding big streamers is entirely applicable, because this, to me, I feel like this is the Letterkenny path. It is the Traveler's path, where you basically, a show is made for Canada and sold elsewhere. I love the idea of small streamers feeding big streamers eventually, just like the idea of small, you know, TV networks feeding the big streamers eventually over time. But I feel like part of the story here, maybe the bigger part of the story, is about a local broadcaster in a region or nation making some content decisions, and then maybe getting some money by licensing it elsewhere, but making their local content decisions and then having it go. I feel like that's a story we see a lot, where there's a British show, there's a Australian show, a New Zealand show, a Canadian show, and then it ends up getting a little more heat when it goes on Netflix or what, Apple TV or whatever. So I'm not, I mean, I love the idea, but I feel like maybe it's more just about this, that this is, as they say, CanCon, Canadian content, and then finding a larger audience. And that's a thing that a lot of U.S. entertainment companies have valued over time, is the fact that there's stuff, if stuff breaks in Canada, they can basically like pretend that they thought of it, even though it actually came from Canada and not the United States.
Yeah, I mean, Bluey was an example of that, right? As far as I know, Bluey was not intended to be an international success.
Yeah.
It was just some show from, I want to say it was Melbourne, but I probably have that wrong. Somewhere in Australia. I'm sorry, I'm a dumb American. But Bluey is incredible. And if you haven't watched Bluey, even if you don't have small kids, you should, because it's great. But anyways, that I think was just a local Australian show that ended up getting really big legs. And yeah, I mean, I haven't watched Heated Rivalry yet, but I have heard of it. I didn't hear of it because of Jacob Tierney. I had heard of it like organically and then looked into it and realized, oh my, this is Jacob Tierney.
Yeah.
I love his work. Yeah. So I suspect I would really like it. I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess what I would also say is the smart streamers are doing this in terms of international content and not getting everything from one source. So Netflix does a great job of this. I'm talking to Tim Goodman in the last episode. Like, Netflix has a lot of great stuff from Korea. Apple does this. Apple's got a whole production, you know, and Netflix is obviously in lots of different countries. Apple does this. They've got a whole European production that throws out stuff like Slow Horses, right? So I'd say the advantage of the truly international streamers is that they do want to create content that is going to appeal to a specific audience. And now what they've realized, and this has absolutely been the case with Korea and Netflix, that is not just a Korean audience that's going to it's going to appeal to. It could appeal to a wide worldwide audience, and that has even more value. So I think that some of that is already happening. I do like the idea, though, as well, that Heated Rivalry is something that, like, Crave obviously got it. Like, they're like, they've been working with Jacob Tierney with Letterkenny. It's hockey. Like, they get it. And they're like, for Canada, like, we can make this work. The fact that it has gone beyond that, I think, is awesome. But in some ways, I would say that, yeah, that is because it wasn't calculated as a giant international thing. It was made for Canada with an eye toward the world, which is like Letterkenny is like that, too. Letterkenny is a very Canadian show. It's great. It's on Hulu. People should watch it. If you haven't heard me plug it before, Casey will back me up here.
Oh, 100%.
That's a Texas size 10-4 there from Casey. part of the beauty of it is that it was not made for us. It was made for Canada. And that makes it not just that it's Canadian, but that it's specific with a specific point of view. And there's great power in having a specific point of view, even if it reaches people who don't necessarily, you know, think of that point of view as being theirs. That's kind of the beauty of it. I mean, I feel that way about Slow Horses. I felt that way about Detectorists, one of my all-time favorites, which is just a very gentle British comedy. It was not made for me, but I love it. So there's something to be said about that. And that goes for the second part of, I would say, of Stephen's letter, which is different perspectives mean that you've got different perspectives and different shows that appeal to different people. And that's good. If everything was samey, it would be less good. And, you know, I would say that almost every like American TV procedural on network TV is kind of samey. And that's okay. It works for us. Right. But like not everybody's watching that stuff and that's not all that there is out there. So I love that Netflix and other companies like that are looking to countries for content and not just pushing it all out from Hollywood. I think that's great. And I also think it's great that local broadcasters like Crave in Canada can generate content that has international appeal while still being, you know, Canadian in their case.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I love that things that we wouldn't necessarily see, like Schitt's Creek, I don't think was originally intended.
I mean, that's CanCon, right? Like I'm sure they hoped to sell it, but I don't think it was originally financed by that.
Bingo. Yeah, exactly right. So I mean, and we're picking on Canada just because there seem to be a lot of shows that have broken out of Canada. That sounds bad, but you know what I mean? That have broken out of Canada over the last several years, but I mean, this could be anywhere. And certainly, you know, there's, what is it? BritBox is the streaming service for the BBC, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, some of the things have kind of crossed BritBox the pond that way as well.
And then some stuff gets larger than that, or they go to PBS or what else? So yeah, it was Schitt's Creek, by the way. The background is it's a CBC show, but they got a streamer in the US to be a co-pro to fund it a little bit. But that happens a lot. It wasn't made for the US, even though they knew it was going to go there. So, and it was to a very obscure streamer called Pop. So, or cable channel. I don't even know what it was. It doesn't matter. And that happens a lot too. Like, you know, Doctor Who at one point was a co-pro with Canada. It was made for the UK, but they knew it would be on in Canada and people in Canada would watch it. And then it was a co-pro with Disney Plus for a while. And there's the same deal, but it's still a very British thing. I think that's the beauty of it. So thank you for writing in, Stephen. One of the things I love about modern television, and Casey, this goes back to our discussion of pack ratting and piracy and things like that, which is it used to be shows would be on in one place and then like, would they ever be somewhere else? And I know our friend Mike has this issue right now with The Pitt, where like The Pitt is not available in the UK. They're about to start the second season in the US, not available in the UK because they're holding it because there's going to be an HBO Max launch in the UK in like a few months. And it's so frustrating. What I love about the era we live in is for the most part, when a show comes out, it comes out everywhere and not like you have to wait. Sometimes you have to wait a little bit, but like your pick that you're about to make is a show that we have to wait for in the US a little bit, but like not a lot. And I love that if you want to watch international stuff, you can do Acorn, you can do BritBox, you can do Megahertz or MHZ. You know, there are lots of options out there. So that's a beauty. TV pick time. Casey, do you have a pick for me?
Yes, we talked about Jacob Tierney, we talked about Letterkenny, and I would like to bring Shorzy to, well, not to your attention, but to the greater you's attention, yours attention. Shorzy is a TV show that is a spinoff of Letterkenny about a character in Letterkenny that I found mostly deeply annoying. And interestingly, the Shorzy TV show has a lot of the same vibe as Letterkenny, but to my eyes anyway, a much stronger through line, whereas Letterkenny was more sitcom-y to a degree, or maybe just like more
almost,
you know,
sketch comedy like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Shorzy has a much clearer plot line through each of the different seasons. I wouldn't say it's not sketch comedy, but there's at least there's an arc to each season, which I really enjoy. And there's a tremendous amount of heart in the show. Yeah. There was a lot in Letterkenny, but way more in Shorzy, which I did not expect, because the Shorzy character, without spoiling much, is like the typical like athletic bro in all of the possible ways.
He's a one note joke in Letterkenny, and then you spin him off and he actually is a fully realized human being. I would say that it's I describe this to people as it's kind of like a TV, like just like Ted Lasso in a way, not like they're not the same, but like in the sense that they are taking familiar sports movie tropes. And so it's about a hockey team and you're like, oh, this is kind of like Slapshot, the TV show. And it is kind of, in a way I find comforting that there's the sports movie trope aspect of it. You're like, I get what's going to happen here. They're plucky underdogs. They're going to figure it out and all of that. And you're going to have a lot of fun along the way. But in the second season, especially, you realize that there's another story that Jared Kiso wants to tell, who's the star and the creative lead on this show, which is about what happens to the hockey guy when he's got to hang him up.
Yep.
Can he be an adult? Is it possible for the hockey thug, the hockey guy, to be a grown up? Big question. And I think that I was one of the reasons I love Shorzy is that it has so surprised me with its depth. It really is not just it's got lots of jokes, but it's also about something, which is, I think, pretty cool, while also being funny.
Yeah, no, I love it. I still think for my money, I would take Letterkenny over Shorzy, but when Shorzy was spun off, like I said, I really didn't like the character. Yeah. He was very annoying. How did you phrase it? A one note joke or whatever. I didn't find it very funny at all.
That's what I said to your mom last night. I mean, that was it. That was the whole of Shorzy and Letterkenny.
Yep. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. And I would still find myself rewatching Letterkenny before I rewatch Shorzy, but Shorzy is so much better than it has any business being, especially with the context of the character in Letterkenny. It is absolutely worth a shot. I mean, obviously, I think you should definitely watch Letterkenny as well.
Also on Hulu. Yeah.
Letterkenny is a bit of an investment insofar as it's like 10, 11, 12 seasons, something like that. They're short episodes, but there's a lot of them. Whereas Shorzy, we're just now, it's currently broadcasting in Canada season 4 or 5, I think, something like that.
They're all very short seasons, but.
Yeah. And it'll be on Hulu very soon, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. So very, very good. A lot of heart, a lot of great storytelling, and a lot of introspection. And it's also, it's funny how, I could go on for hours, but it's very progressive while also allowing kind of like the male gaze, which I'm not saying that as a good thing. It's just very funny how they dance on that line.
I think it is fascinating because it is. And Letterkenny is like this too. It is a show where the women have it together and the men don't have it together.
Yeah,
but there is
yeah.
also a great deal of sexual content, including women wearing skimpy things.
Right.
And I'm fascinated by that because I think it is the unusual show that I would say is extremely feminist while also showing and reveling in, you know, stripper poles and stuff from time to time and bikinis and things like that. And like, I like it because I feel like it's challenging my assumptions every step of the way. It's a fascinating mix. Mm-hmm. It's not for everybody, but I think it's, but yes, it will take you aback if you're like, oh, this is going to be a very progressive show that is very feminist and all that. It's like,
well, it is, but
it's not what you're thinking. And, and like I said, I think that it's great and surprisingly deep for a show that is especially about subjects that are not particularly deep. It's kind of remarkable. So yes, Shorzy on Hulu, and of course Letterkenny, and Heat of Rivalry is there. If you want to take the other kind of co-creator of Letterkenny and what he did, I haven't seen it either. But all my friends are talking about it. I'm going to plug Down Cemetery Road on Apple TV for my pick. I've been watching it. It is not Slow Horses, even though it's based on a novel by the author of Slow Horses, but it's interesting. It is a novel spread out into whatever, 9 episodes. And it's one of these kind of crime novels that goes from bad to worse, where it's basically like the characters just kept getting sucked further and further down into the gravitational pull of what has happened. And they, and in a sense too, of like, well, this bad thing happens and then this bad thing happens and they run. And then where they run, another bad thing happens and they run and they drive and they go to another thing, but the thing catches up with them and they run. And it's very, it's a novel. It's structured like a novel. I've enjoyed it. Emma Thompson is great in it. And so yes, if you're looking for British content to watch on Apple TV, Down Cemetery Road, I have enjoyed it. It is not what I expected. It is not like a spy show per se, but it is really interesting, and I've enjoyed the ride. So I'll throw that one out there. And the Pit is coming back as we record this tonight, and that was my favorite show of last year. So season 2.
I know.
Pit,
I gotta watch that. I gotta watch
so
it.
Good.
We haven't gotten to it yet, but
it's
we're
so
going.
Good. Yeah. So that is my bonus pick. Is just go watch The Pit. Come on. That brings us to the end. Casey, thank you so much for being on Downstream. I really appreciate it.
I know I appreciate it because I feel like this was all in service of me and my needs.
Trying
so
to solve.
Thank you so
we'll
much.
Do some follow up someday about what happened with Casey. Everybody else, please consider subscribing to Downstream Plus. We appreciate it. Every other episode or so, you don't get the whole thing. You only get part of it. And of course, if you subscribe, you get all of it and it's ad free. We appreciate you. Downstream.plus is where you go to subscribe and support the show. You can also send us your feedback. Downstreamfeedback.com. We love to hear from you. Love to your mothers. I will be back with probably Joe Dalian in a couple of weeks. But until then, thanks for listening. Goodbye.